How was everybody's week? Well, what was that, Julie? Oh. Well, I hope your Sunday's better than your week. How's that? I went to the annual regional prayer summit that happens in the YWAM base at Richardson Springs every year. There's a group of this year it was a group between 40 and 50 that gathered together starting at noon on Wednesday, and you stay up there in the rooms in the, if you've ever been up there, they've got it's an old resort, and there's cabins and there's rooms and stuff in the hotel part of it. So there's 40 or 50 ministers from all over Northern California that come together once a year for a regional prayer summit. And it starts Monday at noon and goes through until Wednesday at noon. We end with lunch on Wednesday. So was blessed to be a part of that this year. It's always a good time. I like it. It's across the denominations. There's everybody from Pentecostals to Baptists, you name it. We're gathered together. Anglican priests. It's everybody. And, the fellowship is there that is, it's fantastic. A lot of relationships that have been built over the years. It's been going for approximately, I think, 23 years. This year is the 23rd year they've been gathering. And this is, I think, the fifth year that I've been able to be a part of it. So it's always a good time. Sometimes it's like you're in the flow and in the busy of all ministry and everything, and then all of a sudden it's like you stop and you go to Richardson Springs and partake of that, and it's kind of a refreshing. And then you come back and takes off again. This year was a little bit different for me. It was feeling like I was in the flow before I left, and it's like the flow just took me up there and back down the mountain and just kept going. So a lot of confirmation to what we've been teaching, what God's been revealing in Ephesians, and entering into that rest. There was a lot of that, and being able to give out, there were other ministers that were there. I was able to share some of the things that we've been learning. And some of them come very broken and just needing a break. And so it was cool to be able to minister some of the things that God's been talking about. That we don't have to strive and contend. We don't have to be children of that, the nature of indignation. We can rest in that. So this morning we're starting into Ephesians 4, verse 1. I don't know how much further we'll get past that, but it says, "Then I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called." I find it interesting. Paul continues in this letter. He continues writing to the church in Ephesus and says, reminds them that he's the prisoner in the Lord. And in this, it's almost like he says, "Then I, the prisoner in the Lord," and he's saying, "Remember, I can't be out there walking around in this right now. I'm in bonds. I'm in bondage right now. But you, in the freedoms that you have, and in who this is proclaiming you to be, walk in that." And he says, "Then I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you. I call you beside, I beseech you, or I beg you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called." To walk worthily means to walk in a suitable manner. One that is, equal to. It says, to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. And calling in which you were called, in other words, just means walk worthily of the invitation in which you were invited. And I thought about that, and you know how when you're invited to go to someone's house, I don't know, when we're invited to go to someone's house as a family, there's a difference when you have an invitation. If you were to invite me into your home, I expect my kids to kind of step up a little bit. You know what I mean? We practice manners and all those things around the dinner table at our house all the time. But when you go into somebody else as a parent, have you ever said, "We're going to somebody else's house. You better be on your best behavior. You're going to pay for this." There will be consequences to your behavior, so it needs to be adequate. Have you ever done that with your kids? I started thinking about when you're invited to go to someone's house. But then when you start thinking about, I don't mean any offense or anything, but if you invite me to your house, that's great. But if I get invited to go to the White House, I might take that a little more serious. Right? I mean, who wouldn't? Erica, if you were invited to go to the White House, would you act appropriately? even before you got there, right? It was like, could you see yourself getting on the plane? It's like, you're going to the White House. There's an importance to this, right? It's a place of honor. It's something that you see. This is a privilege to be invited to. And depending on where you're invited to, your behavior and your attitude towards it is going to adjust to that, right? That's what Paul's saying right here. Think about what you've been invited into and walk in a manner that is suitable to that invitation. So however you view the invitation that he's speaking of in Ephesians 1 all the way until this point, what we know as the chapters and verse, but everything he's written in this letter up until this point, he's saying, now if you believe this and you see it and you know what you're being called into, act appropriately to that. Act in a suitable manner. So I started thinking about what we're invited into that he's covered. And I'm sure this is not exhaustive. But we're invited into, let's take each one of these and kind of see, how do you prioritize this? What does this speak to you that might change your attitude and your heart towards it and all of a sudden hold this invitation in a little greater honor? We're invited into every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. I don't know about you, but I could stop right there. That's like, whew, that's pretty humbling. That is, I need to get an attitude change right away. I am invited into partaking of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms rooted in Christ. This is an invitation that nobody can take away from me. This is an invitation to partake of something that cannot be taken from me, no matter who it is, no matter what it is. Cannot strip that away from me at all. I'm invited into something that is sure and it is steadfast and it is rooted in the heavens and it is rooted in Christ. And nothing will uproot that. Can we be done now? Well, I got 20 on here. We are invited to be holy and without blemish before Him. This is an invitation that you don't have to get ready to go into the presence. If you got an invitation in the mail inviting you to the White House, would you go buy new clothes? Most of us probably would. I mean, if there was any way you'd want, I know, come on, women. I know that if I'm inviting my wife to go somewhere with me or if we're going on vacation, I better in the budget have some clothes money in there somewhere. Because she's wanting a new outfit, and not just for her, but at least one new outfit for each one of the kids. Because if we go out to dinner or anything like that, if we're going somewhere special, it's important to her to have that, right? This is an invitation to be holy and without blemish before Him that you don't have to do anything to prepare for. You don't need new clothes. Jesus already gave us our new identity. This is an invitation that says, come as you are, because in my heart and in my eyes that I look upon you at, it's through the blood of Jesus and you are absolutely perfect already. Please just come. We could stop there. This is the one that really gets me. We are invited into sonship. It's not just an invitation to come. You're already holy and without blemish. It's not just that. It goes beyond that and says, come, my son. And I don't have to earn it. He's not looking down on me saying, well, you know, I'd be a little bit happier if my son didn't behave that way. It's nothing like that. It's, my son, my child, come. It's the place of sonship that I'm invited into. We are invited to be redeemed. We are invited into His blood, whereby we are delivered from the power of sin and its consequence. I don't have to pack a bag. All my baggage is gone. This is an invitation from something greater than the White House. This says, I just want you to come. You don't have to pack a bag. You don't have to do anything. Nothing. Everything's already been done for you. Any need you're going to have on your trip there, any need you're going to have when you get there, it's already met in Christ Jesus. Just come. Everything's handled. We're invited to know the mystery of His will. If I got an invitation from the White House today, I got to be honest, I would probably go, why are they sending this for me? There might be a little conspiracy going on here in my mind, right? You would wonder, what's the motivation behind it? What do they really want? We've got invitations from friends before. You know what I'm talking about. You've got invitations where somebody look at you and say, why don't you come over to our house for dinner? And you walk away talking to your husband or your wife and you go, I wonder why they're really inviting us over there. If I send out an invitation to you to come to my office this week, you'd all wonder, what does Pastor Mike want to talk to me about? Right? Come on, you know it's true. Because people walk in my office all the time with that deer in the headlights look like, I don't know why I'm here, but, And you say, I just want to talk to you. And they go, yeah, right, really. What about? It's like getting called to the principal's office. You don't get called to the principal's office for the good boy star, do you? Right? There's automatically this question. It's like, does he know what I've been doing? What does he know? What's God telling him that I don't know about? Yeah. We're invited to know the mystery of his will. You don't have to wonder why he's inviting you. It's just because you bring him pleasure. It's just because he wants you to know him and he wants to know you. It's because he just wants to scoop you up in his arms and say, do you smell me? Do you hear me? Do you know about me? I want you to know me, not just about me. I want you to experience my presence. Just come. Don't pack a bag. It's okay. You don't need anything. Just come on. I don't have to, there's no mystery to it anymore. I don't have to wonder what his will is. We are invited to steward the kingdom of God. Meaning we're invited to partake of the authority. We're invited to partake of everything about it that we might be a part of bringing all things into Christ. Which means that you get to steward the invitations. You get to look at somebody when they're in all their junk and struggling. You get to say, you know what? Don't worry about all that. Leave all that behind. Come on, let's go to the presence of the Father. Come on. Let's go. We don't need anything. We don't need to even talk about what's been going on in your life. We don't need to talk about any of that stuff. I don't need to hear the bad. I'm leaving all the judgments, everything else behind. Come on, let's go to the presence of the Father, Joe. Wow. I mean, I got to be honest. Every time I get invited, I have to ask people, do you mean just me and my wife, or do you mean bring all the kids too? Right? Come on. I got 7. When you put that invitation out there, be clear what you're really expecting. Right? Because you're going to need a little bit more food. If you were thinking me and my wife, or just me, and we all show up, you're going to be thinking, I should have made more food. So we need to make it clear, right? We don't have to worry about that. If I look at Eric and say, come on, let's go see the Father. And he says, well, I want to bring Joe. You don't even have to ask. Just grab him. Let's go. Come on. It's all in Jesus. Is this invitation of any value to anybody yet? We're not even done. We're not even halfway there. We're invited to be a steward of the kingdom of God. We are invited to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're invited into that. We can just be sealed. As in, done deal, stamp of approval, stamp of everything, the future, everything. You don't have to worry about a thing. Bam, done. Sealed with his seal, which is his Spirit in you. It's his Spirit on you. It's everything. Nobody can take it away. I like this invitation. We are invited into hope. So I ask you, what is the hope of his calling? Christ in us. He's the hope. He's everything about it, right? We're invited into it. You don't have to worry about anything. Nothing. Any reason you can think, anything that you would have that you would wonder, oh, I need to do this or I need to do that or, oh, I haven't been doing that or anything. Nothing. All of it. All you got to do is decide, don't worry about it. Come on, let's go. We are invited into the surpassing greatness of his power. The scripture goes on, and this is out of Ephesians 1, where it said we're invited into his power, which raised Jesus from the dead. We're invited into that power. That power is towards us. Oh, you don't have gas money to get there? Right? I mean, airfare included. Yeah, everything's covered in this. He left nothing undone. When he said it is finished, it's like, okay, the invitations are made and they are sent out and it's for everybody. Here it is. Doesn't matter what you did, Debbie. Doesn't matter where you're at. It's like the invitation doesn't need to be forwarded in the mail. It's just like hand-delivered right to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Doesn't matter where you're at, right? We are invited to be a part of the assembly, his body. And I think this is where we really need to start. We really need to think about this, what we're invited into. Because this is the easiest place for us to wake up Sunday morning and go, ah, I don't feel like going this morning. I mean, there's no excuse today. Super Bowl doesn't start till 3. Right? I mean, my two sons, they're with their biological dad today to watch the football game. But both of them looked at me, can we go over there? Can we go over there in the morning? And it's like, no. Can we go over there right after church? And I said, the game doesn't start till 3. Oh. You could see the wheels turning. It was like, well, now what am I going to do to get over there earlier? You know what I mean? It's like all the excuses and everything were gone. So it brought them to a point where they just kind of forgot about it, didn't say anything about it, and we're outside playing yesterday, and I walked out and told them, hey, get your guys' clothes together. You can go spend the night. It made their day. You know what I mean? It was totally in grace. It wasn't that they earned it. It wasn't something they did or didn't do. It's just like, go have fun. As soon as the game's over tomorrow night, I need you guys to be home because it's school night. See where it kind of puts us? So you don't have to worry about it anymore. All of a sudden, it's just like, I get to go. We get to be a part of his assembly. We got to learn and we've got to get in our hearts. This needs to be important. When we come together like this, I'm down here this morning praying. Every one of you that's here this morning is not here by chance. Susie, I saw your face specifically. I'm down here praying this morning that the Holy Spirit would wake all of you up. That there would be a stirring. Lord, that you would stir up and wake up everybody that you're called to, that are called to this assembly by you this morning. Holy Spirit, it's your job and you do it. Wake them up. If you'd have put it back on me, your phones would have been ringing this morning. It's like, Lord, we need to find value in the assembly. We need to know that when we come together, it means something. This means something to the Father. That we will come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, all the enmity removed, and just be the assembly and worship him. Amen? I pray that you find more and more value in that all the time. Because the more I'm seeing it, the value in it, and what Jesus, what really pleases him is when we will gather like this. I would love it. I'm telling you. When it happens, and I'm believing that it is, I feel like we are on the threshold and God wants to pour out his grace and his mercy and signs and wonders and all this stuff. When it happens, get ready to have church all the time. Taylor, your voice is going to be sore because we're just going to worship. My fingers are bleeding already thinking about we're just going to play and worship. And when we get tired, we'll just lift up our voices and worship. But I'm telling you right now, if somebody got healed right here in front of you, would you not want to worship? But God wants it to happen in the assembly. He wants us to know who we are because I'm telling you, when it happens, I thought about this and thought, wow, if I'm praying for somebody that's maybe in a wheelchair and all of a sudden they get up and walk, how many of you would get so scared you'd run out the doors? I'm probably going to run around the sanctuary a few times. It's like, whoa, that's a little weird. I've been wanting that and I knew God could do it, but wouldn't it kind of freak you out a little bit? I've heard the testimonies. People that were born with arms deformed and somebody pray for them and all of a sudden it just grows an arm. I got to think that the majority of us would freak out and head out the door. Thank you, Jesus, as we're running away. Think about it. What would you do if someone's arm, if somebody just grew an arm right here in front of us just because we just, by faith, prayed for somebody? What would you do? Probably run. Thank you, Eric. I mean, when you think about it, it's like, wouldn't that be just a little bit weird? It's what we're invited to. What an invitation. What a dinner party. We're invited to the surpassing greatness of His power. We're invited to be a part of the assembly, His body. We are invited out of death and into life. Invited. I didn't deserve it. I walked around in death for a long time, and I did not deserve it. It was absolutely by His grace, and I was invited out of death by the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is that, it is that proclamation. It's that herald. It's like, dinner's on. You know what I mean? It's like, you're invited. Come on. Come and feast on this. And it is the salvation. It is the invitation into salvation. Amen? It is out of death and into life. And then when you get there, you're invited in to rest. You're invited to a table that you don't have to push and shove for your place. You don't have to push and shove for the best seat. You don't have to push and shove to make sure you get a plate full. There is an abundance of everything that is needed, and you can just rest in it. You don't have to. I mean, how many times it's like when you haven't really had a... all of a sudden, all this exquisite meal is set before you, and it's like you want to load up the plate because, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to get a piece of that pie because I really want that pie. Anybody ever do that? It's like you go for the dessert first because you're so afraid you're going to miss out on that kind of pie. There's 50 pieces of pie sitting there, but you got to have that one. It's like it catches your eye and it's like, oh, got to have it. There's an abundance. You don't have to hurry for it. You can actually set back and just enjoy. There's an abundance, and if you want seconds, it's there. You don't have to push and shove for that piece. I mean, come on, around my house, I hide the ice cream sometimes. Me, the one that can get in the car and has the money and I could go buy more, will hide the ice cream. And there's been times when I don't feel foolish or selfish for doing it. It's like, I want a bowl of ice cream, and I know if the kids see it, it's on, right? So you move the stuff in the freezer and you bury it, put the stuff on top of it, right? I was fasting, was it 2 weeks ago? I was fasting, and I went, it was Aaron and Hortensia's house. I stopped by their house, and she's making, what are those things called? Chili Rellenos, sorry, it's like, gone. She's making chili rellenos, and she knows I love chili rellenos. That's one of my favorite meals. She makes chili rellenos, and before I leave, she makes up this dish, and I'm thinking, I'm fasting. I can't have these till Friday. This was like on a Wednesday night when I went over there. I've already fasted Tuesday, all day Wednesday. She hands me chili rellenos. I got chili. We are invited to rest out of that nature of indignation. And that's exactly what I'm describing to you, is that nature of indignation. It's that I got to have mine. I don't want anybody else to eat my chili rellenos. That's that indignation we've been talking about, right? And we're invited into His nature. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. It says, as his divine power, having given as a gift to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the full knowledge of the one calling us, inviting us through glory and virtue. And it says, through which have been given as a gift to us the very great and precious promises, so that through these we might become partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature would be that nature of the Father that doesn't have to hide the ice cream from us. Right? God's not hiding things from us. We are invited to be seated with Him in the heavenly realms. We are invited to walk in His good works, which means all the pressure's off of us. I don't have to do good things. It doesn't say you're invited to do this, but first you got to take care of these things and do it good. This is an invitation to walk in His good works. We are invited out of rejection and into acceptance. Don't have to fear being rejected anymore. By faith, I know that I am accepted because of Jesus Christ's work for me on the cross. Everything complete and perfect. This is that I don't have to pack the bag. I don't have to do anything. It's just come. I am invited into citizenship. And in that comes all of its rights. There are rights of citizenship, right? There are rights to being citizens of Corning. There are rights to being citizens of the United States. There are rights to being citizens of the household of God. Amen? We are invited to be a joint heir, a joint body, joint partakers of the promises. We are invited to be a part of the assembly which is revealing the manifold wisdom of God to rulers and authorities. Can't do it on your own. You can't stand as an individual, not as a part of the body, and reveal the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Can't do it by yourself. It's only in this. It's in the assembly. It's when we come together, all of us, in the name of Jesus, in that place of love and unity and citizenship and all of it together. Now we have a voice. Now we have a body that reveals the manifold wisdom of God. We're invited into love. Amen. All of these that I've been reading are just the promises. If I had to put one thing that we're invited into, that kind of sums it all up. The invitation in which you were invited. This isn't an invitation that you look at it and throw in with the rest of the mail. This isn't an invitation that you wait to RSVP. What's that? Yeah, Willy Wonka's golden ticket. I like that. This is an invitation that needs to be honored. It's an invitation to be responded to. It's an invitation that we should put in the highest priority, right? It's an invitation that we should realize, walk it before you get there. That's what it should do. Even, I mean, there are some of these things that we read them and we know that we have them, but we're not fully walking in all of that, right? I mean, we still fall short, and we read it. I've been teaching on it for the past several weeks, over and over and over again, and we hear these promises, and some of us get some of them. If you get one, you got it. I mean, that's awesome. But some of it, we're not quite there yet. I knew I was called to be a pastor. As soon as I knew I was called to be that, to the best of my ability, I started walking as though I was one before anybody ever put the title in front of my name. Make sense? And I don't mean that boastfully. I just mean this is what it made me think about. It's like when you know that God is calling you to something, when you know that He's calling you into these promises, it's like walk in a way that is suitable to that. Walk in a way that's worthy of that. I mean, you get into that word worthy. I mean, you take any one of those, and I don't know that I can actually live my life in a worthy manner to it. But if I put my attention to that and my heart is to partake of that, I will make it important in my life and it will change the way I walk and the way I live. If I understand the grace of God and I understand the Spirit of God is in you, it's automatically, if I will make that a priority to see that in you, it will automatically change the way that I talk to you and the way that I relate to you on any level. Right? If we would just take the time to realize the presence of God, the Spirit of God is in them, that they might partake of the divine nature. If I will remember that, I will talk to you just as though I was talking to Jesus Himself. Right? That means we'll talk to our children as though Jesus is right there Himself. We'll talk to our spouses. We'll talk to our bosses. Right? Anybody, you ever had the experience where you walk in and find out that you're at a job interview for somebody that's seen you really being yourself? Right? And you go, well, I don't know if they'll hire me or not, but here we are. You know what I'm talking about. Then I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've been, all the kids in our house, I mean, I just think about dinner time. I would love it if all of the kids were just in that place of security in their heart, that they didn't have to fight for a place at the table. You know what I mean? It's like there's enough seats there. But we, just like little children, will fight. I want to sit there. I want to sit there. And unfortunately, in order to keep the peace so that I can even stand to be in the same room when we're all sitting down at dinner, you have to structure it. Okay, this is your seat. Don't sit anywhere else. That's your seat. That's your seat. And you assign it, right? You make up the rules to keep everybody in order. That's not what this is talking about. This is that place of being inside of you where you're secure. This is that rooted and grounded so that it doesn't have to be established by a rule, but you just know. My place will be there. My place is there. Being able to come in, I long for the day when my children are not acting as children anymore, that they're adults and we can all come together. And I'm probably just going to throw everybody out if at 25 years old they're still coming in. You're sitting in my seat. That kind of attitude. You know what I mean? It's like, nah, we're not even doing this. I long for the day when my children mature to that place where we're not fighting over seats anymore, or we're not fighting over who gets to the dessert first, when they just realize how blessed we really are. I mean, there's little things that, you know, I try to instill in my kids and make them realize, you know, they'll complain about a meal or something like that. And I try to tell them, listen, there are other children out here, right here, that you go to school with that don't get to eat dinner every night. They're right here in our community. Had it happen in our home. Young man comes into the home and my wife is in the middle of cooking dinner and everything else. And it was so humbling because all of a sudden in the middle of it, he goes, we don't eat like this at my house. And I caught it out of my ear. My wife was like, wow. And he's like, you don't want to react to it. She turns around. She goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, my parents would say something like this. Make yourself some top ramen or whatever. It wasn't just what we were having. It was that we were preparing to have it as a family. I want my kids to recognize that and realize how blessed we are. Because when you do, comes that sense of peace and that rest that now you can come with a thankful heart. Right? We don't have to fight for this anymore. We don't have to fight for position, anything like that. We can rest in who each one of us is in Christ. And if we'll recognize that and make that a priority, and we will walk worthy in a manner worthy of that invitation that we each have, we will treat each other a whole lot different. Amen? That's what Paul's talking about in this. I don't plan on going back and reviewing chapters 1 through 3. But as we head into chapter 4, I took these 20 points that I've written down and just made up some quick bookmarks this morning. So as we go into this fourth chapter, as we go into any part of it, because now what Paul starts doing is he starts describing and he starts showing the purpose of the assembly, the body. And if we don't remember these, we won't get what he's sharing in chapter 4. We will miss what he's really speaking to, because it's on these that he starts saying, walk worthy of this. Walk worthy of this and remember. And then he gives the purpose and why we're assembling. And it's so that we all come into the fullness of Christ. The assembly is where things start happening. When we get the assembly and we start loving one another like we love him, things start happening. God feels so provoked to move in that. Scripture talks about the unity. The unity is so pleasing to the Father. It's like you release the power of the Spirit of God because we get it. And when we come together and we'll love one another in that. I mean, to lay hands on somebody and see them healed, just as an example. If I laid hands and prayed for somebody and saw them healed, how many times would it happen, and has it happened in times like that, where they say, oh, Pastor Mike or whoever it is, they have the anointing. Now everybody's rushing to that person. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the body, and we come together as the assembly. Whoever God chooses, that faith would flow through. It may, and I don't care if you've been here every single Sunday or every time we've met, or if we haven't seen you in 6 months. If the faith is there, God's pleased in the assembly, and the power of God begins to flow. And it's not just supposed to be through me. It's not just supposed to be through one or two people. It's supposed to be through the body, so that we all walk in that place of faith. Maybe I come in and I need somebody to pray for me. You see what I mean? It's the assembly that starts moving the power of God. And we need to understand that. So here we go. Eric, will you pass some of these out for me? I think I made enough. Steve, will you give him a hand? And I think I did keep one of those now that I think about it. Let us walk in a manner that is suitable to this great invitation. Amen? It's an invitation. Nobody's going to force you. Do you feel the love in the back of the sanctuary right now? More than ever before, I have been stirred in me. I've been in this body for almost 17 years now. And it didn't take very long when I first started coming here to just know that God has a mandate. There is a reason for this ministry. I have felt it's like God's going to move. And I have felt that so strongly, and it's been 17 years, and it's still there in me. And we get this perspective that we're preparing for the future. And there was a lot of that. But I come to this place where all of a sudden I feel like I'm standing at the threshold of it. And it's like, this isn't preparing for the future. This is like right now. This is like the last minute moving around and God says, here's the key. And all of a sudden it's just going to bust loose. And many people at the prayer summit that were just confirming that same thing, that now is the time. Now's the time. And as a pastor, sometimes you get tired. You know what I mean? It's like you keep preparing and you keep teaching, you keep going, but there's this hope that it's like, Lord, when's it going to happen? When are we going to see God be God? You know what I mean? It's not like we're earning our way there, but you know, it's that work that he's doing in each one of us. And it's that growth. It's the assembly. It's all these things. And it's like, we've studied this. And if we just saw how they all come together, there it is, right? I feel like we're right there. And somebody looked at me the other day and said, what you think is going to be the third strike is going to be the home run. I thought, well, that's an interesting way to put it. That's that taking that third swing. And when you think you've missed it and all of a sudden you connect and hit the grand slam that you never thought you could do. It's like, it really spoke to me. It's like, we're there. So you can feel the Father's heart just going, oh, I just want to, he just wants to just dump it out there. And it's like everything you've been waiting for so long. I waited as a teenager. I waited as a little boy. My dad told me when I was young, he had this 56 Chevy pickup and it was a hot rod. And I loved that truck. It was like my whole life. That's all I ever wanted. My dad told me when you turn 16, you can have that truck. And I'll never forget being handed the keys to that, and it was my truck. You know what I mean? It's like, it's that day when the key gets handed to you, and that's where I feel like we're standing here, and we've been waiting to come to that point where it's that coming of age, so to speak, where you get to participate, you get to partake of what the promises are. We're there, and I want to partake of every promise in here. Amen? Let's be the assembly. Let's make it a priority. Let's walk in a manner that's worthy of that invitation. To partake of that promise and that invitation. Amen. Just walk in a worthy manner. And God is faithful to bring us into the fulfillment of that. I like the sound of that. That's what it's all about. Amen. Yes. Can you try to share? Sure, I was trying to share something up here. Yeah. Go ahead. Let's stand this morning.